Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
There's a bouncer toward the middle. Going to be a tough play. That's going to be loved by Horner, but no play. Infield single, Luis Urias. And the Padres have a man on now in the bottom of the 10th inning. 3-1. Way outside. Ball four. That pitch was not close. Here's the pitch on the way. Outside, he walked out. Bags loaded. One away. The 3-0. Ball four. Forces in the winning run, and the ball game is over. The Padres, on a bases-loaded walk by Steve Cishek in the 10th inning, have beaten the Chicago Cubs by a score of 9-8.
Well?
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on the Score.
Ball four, ball eight, ball 12. 12, that's too many. 12 is too many, Steve. That's 12.
The best or worst is Cishek telling Joe Maddon to calm down. I got this.
Hey, chill out
it's
there,
all right.
Skip.
I got it. No problem. I'll take care
of
it.
I'm going to walk the hell out of this guy.
Here's the way I'm going to take care of it. I'll meet you for a drink in 11 minutes after I throw four balls.
Hold
here we go.
My beer. We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Visit your local Hyundai dealer. Test drive the Hyundai Palisade today. This is the Bernstein and McKnight Show, but that's not McKnight. That's Matt Spiegel, because McKnight started throwing up yesterday.
Is that what happened? I heard there was vomit, I didn't know if it was just because he was actually listening to you.
It was funny on the text, because it's also funny when I'm driving and Siri is reading the texts. So I'm getting these texts from...
I am vomiting.
No, from Jay Zaw Askey. It's Jay Zaw Askey said a text. So I'm hearing of, so I guess I don't have it in front of me, but the text string was, it was from Mitch or from Jay. It said something like McKnight throwing up, Spiegel in tomorrow. And then Jay sends a text.
But there's no punctuation. No, McKnight throwing up in Spiegel tomorrow.
And Jay's text was gross. And then he follows that up with, about Spiegel, I mean, not the throwing up.
Wait a minute.
Right?
Hold on a second.
Were you on that string?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. So what was gross?
No, it was just a joke.
I thought it was the concept of Connor throwing up in me.
No,
that was the issue. But apparently it was just me that was gross.
That's a whole separate tab.
I was completely confused by all of it, but everything's fine.
I would have, if I had known that Connor was going to throw up in me, I would not have come to work today. No chance.
We've got Mike Florio at 10. We got the midday midway at 10:40. Hub Arkish belongs to us today. He is at 11. Surprises along the way as well. 312-644-6767. The number at WSCR, the Score. You want to email us, please do. Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live, because we're streaming at 670thescore.com. You want to send a text or sexting, you can do that too at 67011. When you do, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein_MCK. He is at Matt Spiegel, right?
670.
Matt Spiegel 670.
That's right.
And I am at Dan_Bernstein. You have to download the radio.com app. And when you do, you can stream the Score on your mobile devices, interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. We're soon to have a video feed that Brian Gertsch will direct. The producers, Jay Zawoski, Rick Camp, and the man in the back doing what he does. He is the executioner. Ray Diaz.
Yeah, there's a crime that we're not on video. I mean, we're both just incredibly handsome.
Well, I actually wore big boy clothes today.
You did?
I have a collared shirt, and I have...
That is impressive.
Jeans on, because I'm recording the rest of my Miller Lite Bears by the Decades videos today.
This is adult clothes for you, isn't it?
Yeah, that's... Both kids said something. Seriously,
that's a bad sign.
A golf shirt and jeans.
Dad, you're not wearing plastic?
Right. Both kids like, what do you have going on today? It's like, is Queen Elizabeth visiting or something? A collared shirt?
No, it's been a while since I've checked in on all things Bernstein. Are you still the guy making dinner at like 10 p.m. or 11 p.m. and like spending hours deciding about what to shop for and just like I've, there's that little in your life that actually demands further attention?
No, here's what happened is that now that I'm cooking for both kids first and then I lose interest when it comes to my own dinner. I've been absolutely just mailing it in. I make a can
for yourself
of,
on yeah, yourself
for myself. I make a can of chili. I make, you know, I get one of the Mariano's deal now. If you buy one sandwich, you get the second sandwich at half price. And sometimes if you go late in the day and late in the week, they have discounted sandwiches because they're trying to move them. So I stock up.
Oh, sandwich. I can never stay mad at you.
That's what I've been doing. So a lot of that.
Just seeing how far you can stretch a Mariano's sandwich deal.
A lot of Tombstone pizzas.
Wow.
Yep. So no,
midday money doesn't go as far as it used to.
I've lost the, you know, it's an energy thing. I just don't care.
You know,
I used to fetishize my dinner and make a big production out of it.
I still do. I still do.
Weekends. Occasionally on a weekend, I'll do that.
Well, I mean, I always used to like fetishize food, and then it was like, all right, well, let me try and eat less, but I'll still fetishize it because there's this whole thought process that if you still fetishize it, but just eat less, then it has the same level of enjoyability. There's a whole book and concept. Eat like a French lady. Like really set yourself up. Right?
Yeah.
Like a great plate, a beautiful setting, give yourself a terrific moment, and then have a very small amount. And it satisfies the senses, theoretically. And I still do that. And it helps every once in a while. But my wife is like you. She eats the same exact thing every day for lunch. Exactly the same thing. I know because I make it. But it's exactly the same, and she does not get bored by it. And she suggested today that we do that together, and I said no.
Connor tells a story about either his grandfather or an uncle of his that did that his whole life.
Same thing.
That every lunch, he would have like, it was like a bologna sandwich on white bread with like Planters cheese balls or something. It was something very specific every single day for his entire life.
Clammers!
Well, it reminds me of Einstein wearing the same suit every day.
Yes.
Right?
You want to take that out of the equation, right. Don't worry about it.
So what would have happened in my life if I would have taken all the thought that I have given food over the past 45 years and not thought about it, just eating the same thing? If I had those cheese balls and whatever the Planters crap that you said Connor's uncle ate, but if I never thought about an option and I just did that, would I still have been consumed by consumption in terms of how much and volume and
it
such?
It would have found another avenue probably, right? It would have find its level somehow, I think. Those things do. You want to read a great book on stuff like that? There's a book called Gulp by a fabulous writer named Mary Roach, a journalist. And it's like 10 chapters each having to do. She starts with at the mouth and leads all the way down the digestive tract and brings it out the other end with incredible stories every stage. And
really?
Yeah. And as she...
Interesting.
It really is. It's a hoot. I mean, you'll laugh out loud at some of the stuff. And at the end, like the last chapters have to do... She goes to a prison in California and talks to a mass murderer, talks to other people about smuggling things into prison. How they do it, how they get good at it. Talks to people who work in the prisons about how they find some of these.
She really got to the bottom of that. Huh?
It's unbelievable. And whatever you think it is, it's 10 times beyond what you think it is. 10 times. You go, oh my God, with pictures and x-rays.
Oh,
and
God.
Yeah, it's really good stuff. So you said something during transition. I want to make sure I get the word right. Something having to do with Cubs and big and little, like you can't see the little because the big is overwhelming.
Well, yeah, I mean today's little badness is that, look, stop using Steve Cishek. He's broken. He's been broken since last September. Oh, by the way, you missed an opportunity to make up ground on this night from several teams. Oh, by the way, Craig Kimbrell is not going to come off the injured list as soon as he is eligible to. He needs more time. He threw yesterday in the bullpen, and it didn't feel real good. All those little things are happening, but it's hard to get past the expectation of the reckoning that we've all been waiting on, because the reckoning was challenged last year, and they really didn't do much of anything in the offseason. And then they did a couple things during the season, but they're going to have to make some big, big decisions unless they're just going to try and subsist the way they are and be interesting and relevant for a while. But if you really want to, you know, frame yourself as a contender, you're going to have to make some big decisions and some serious changes in multiple different ways. So I think most of us are sitting around and waiting for that and wondering how big it's going to be. And I'm off brand in terms of the good vibes, babe, because I don't have the feeling that if this team manages to sneak in, they could be the one that catches fire, like the 84-win Cardinals did
a few years ago. The puncher's chance, baseball, anybody can win a short series no matter what.
I admit I don't have that feeling because every phase of this team can let you down at a different point during a five-game series. Every single one.
Here's where the line for me, I totally agree that the big is trumping everything right now. Everything we know about what we saw early was completely predictive. And we called it. We called this tension. The moment Theo laid it down with the urgency speech. Like, how can you have urgency on a Joe Maddon team? Yeah, how is this going to happen? And we've seen these forces fight each other all year. We have seen the pressure and the pleasure battle it out. And we've got scar tissue that's built up. Now, how many horrible losses have they had? They've had so many crushing, horrible
losses. So many season-defining losses.
And then they get, you know, there's the Kimbrel acquisition and the Nick Castellanos thing and the Mets series. And they've had all these times like, okay, all right, now. But we know better. We know better. We know that eventually their problems and their deficiencies let the air out of the balloon.
I'll tell you the final moment where I had that hope and then it broke me when
tell
we come
us after
back.
An update. Yep.
Baseball.
Yeah, but those good vibes. I'm feeling it today with Matt Spiegel in for the ailing Connor McKnight. Dan Bernstein here, the Bernstein and McKnight Show, 9 a.m. to noon, Monday through Friday. So what was your breaking point? What was your moment?
My moment was a Thursday last week when I saw the lineup get tweeted for the game.
And you threw up.
No, it was a glorious lineup. It was everything. It was 2 days after Zobrist and Contreras had come back and played well and impacted the game immediately. And it was the first game of the road trip of the Brewers series. So they ended up winning the game anyway, but it doesn't matter because here's what happened. The lineup was tweeted and the lineup was Zobrist, Castellanos, Bryant, Rizzo, and then Contreras, Baez, and Schwarber in whatever order they were. That was 5, 6, and 7. Contreras, Schwarber, Baez was 5, 6, 7. Hayward was 8. Zobrist was leading off. Castellanos was there. Everything was there.
Yep, there it is. Here, let's go.
It is. Finally, you've got true leadoff in terms of taking pitches and setting a tone. You've got a two-hitter that is a part of your diversification of the lineup. He's not the same old guy. You've got Bryant and Rizzo back-to-back, and then you've got Schwarber, who has started to come on with contact. You have him sandwiched in between Contreras and Baez. You have Hayward at 8 where he belongs, and that was it. And I almost tweeted, holy hell, look at this. And within an hour, Baez had taken BP and felt the hairline fracture in his thumb. And Craig Kimbrel went on the injured list a second time. And that lineup has never happened. Baez didn't play that night. The lineup didn't happen. Russell played. They still scored, 10 runs? That's a game they won 10-1. But this promise, this idea and promise of a fixed lineup. They didn't do it in the offseason. And then Zobrist went away and it screwed things up. But Castellanos was huge and all these things happened. And Schwarber did progress and has progressed. He's more production, not just potential for him as a full hitter and not just a slugger. But there it was. It was on paper or on digital paper. But it didn't happen. And it won't ever happen because Baez isn't going to play the rest of the way. They didn't fix the offense. And by the time you got here, the offense might have been fixed. If that lineup played out your last 23 games or whatever that was at that time, I could have seen it happening.
Yeah,
and now I can't.
140 games has allowed the Cubs to tell us what they are.
Absolutely.
And to tell us what they're not. And when you see a guy like Zobrist throw that ball away as badly as he did last night.
Yeah.
And you start to think, okay.
Well,
you know, like,
It's Zobrist and Nico Horner playing your middle infield spots, and that makes all the sense offensively right now for the moment, but you're asking guys to make big, big plays. You think Baez comes off the bag and at least makes the snag and gets one out
maybe
of it?
But here's the possibly question we have. This is where you wonder, and I always battle with this, and I know that teams develop a feeling around them. And we sit and we can watch them and have this feeling. Fans are not players. Fans are not managers. Fans are just fans. Observers are observers. And we project. And it's part of what we do in our role here is project. And sometimes fans screw it up. Like, they don't want it that badly. They're not. And it's a big disconnect between fans and players because it's their job. They go to work. They do their job.
Mm-hmm.
It happens to be hitting a ball with a stick, but it's their job. What we're talking about, the big outweighing the little, they have to feel it. They have to know. They're plugged in.
Yeah.
They talk to people. They know that Joe doesn't have a contract. They know Steve Cishek is broken. They know Cole Hamels is still probably hurt.
They knew Pedro Strop was broken before he got used like 9 more times.
Right? See, this is the thing.
They know.
They know as much or more than we do. And I understand that mentally there are different things in place that they allow themselves to think about and not think about when they go to work every day. And they have routine. And they have a life away from the game. But in certain situations, they've got to know. If we have scar tissue watching this team because of the number of massive head wounds we've suffered watching this team.
They know this offseason is coming.
Exactly.
Yeah, they know it's coming. You ever been in a relationship that you know is doomed of any kind? Maybe it's radio, maybe it's personal, whatever. But if you're in a relationship that you know is doomed and you know the other person is really, they're kind of on their way out and you've sensed that they're on their way out, you may think that you're trying to salvage the relationship and work on it, but subconsciously or passively, there's a part of you that's just not. That's not as invested. That is not as comfortable, not trying quite as hard or not focused quite as much and not achieving up to the top of your possibility. When you feel the weight of it, I mean, and there have been times through the years we've seen, oh, man, did that team check out? I'm not saying this team has checked out. I don't think they've checked
it's
out.
Hard to
it's
see
subtler
in baseball.
Than that. It's subtler than
it's
that.
It's really hard to see in baseball. And I would never accuse any one of these individual players of checking out, sort of in the way to use that term that you're using. But I just wonder subconsciously what it does. What it does to how you take BP.
Yeah.
What it does to whether or not you're watching a little extra bit of video. You know, Joe Maddon used the word for a reason. We talked about Castellanos and the spark that he gave, and he said that's what hunger looks like.
Mm-hmm.
When you said that, I don't think he was calling out any individual player, but I do think it is completely fair to look at the body of work of this Cubs core and wonder about comfort level and wonder about how, whether or not the symbolism of their club. And look, they won a World Series. They did. They were the best team in the league, and they won the World Series in the same year they were the best team. That's saying something. It's remarkable. It matters what they did. Biggest sports story of my lifetime.
They'll always be made guys, and they'll be the ones walking into the stadium like we watched McMahon and Fencic do on opening night at Soldier Field.
That's great. But there's something about the relationships in this organization between Theo and Jed and their players, their core, a trust level with what you talked about. They were supposed to get better.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to come together in a certain way. Forget the larger secular forces of baseball doing what they did and looking at some of those vectors and what went where. But, man, this group of guys, these kids that are now not kids anymore, had everything set up for them.
You're saying they skipped a level? Between front office and players, that's where the bond is, that's where the connection is, and that you need that middle level a bit more because it's being forced out of the game.
It is. It's just hard to ask a team to be. It's hard to ask for urgency, as Theo did. It's hard Theo tried to give him a kick in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
He's been hugging them and hugging them and hugging them and finally gave him a kick in the ass, firing every coach they don't like. making sure that they've got every possible creature comfort in the world, the personal chefs and the designed dugout and everything for them. And then this year it's like, you know, okay, you know, it's hard to kick them in the ass at that point. It really is. And I don't know it's any individual's fault. I don't think anybody's lacking trying. I'm not calling them out for being soft. I just wonder if this...
It's just the natural evolution of a group.
Did this process ask for this? Is this an inevitable conclusion of the process reaching this the way it did? When pleasure. Oh, wait. Pressure.
Let me take this opportunity to play the role of Dan Bernstein, or maybe it's the Dan Bernstein I grew up with, Mister.
Back in my day.
Here's what Dan Bernstein would say at this point: yeah. You're overthinking it. They're just not good enough.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Offensively, I think they're just not good enough. I think it takes a very special hitter to do what Anthony Rizzo does and adjust from being a launch angle guy for two strikes to being a contact guy with at the end of an at bat. It takes a very special, talented person to become a slugging line drive hitter like Christian Yelich when you've been a line drive hitter your first couple years.
Yep.
It takes very, very special stuff, and these guys are not quite as special as we or they thought they were.
Yeah, or Joe Maddon just doesn't have a bullpen, right?
That's certainly part of it.
He doesn't have a high leverage bullpen, and he's completely flailing and doesn't know who to warm up, doesn't know who to put in. It's just a bunch of guys. And you just put somebody out there and you hope you can throw a strike.
He's had to be perfect by what they have given him and limited him with in terms of that bullpen. He's had to be perfect, and we know he has not been.
All right. Are they just not good enough? Is the big outweighing the small right now? And how much of our understanding, our feeling, our awareness of this team do you think they are feeling? Do you think it's actually mattering to them at this point when they're still holding down a playoff spot? A nominal one, though it may be. 312-644-6767. Matt Spiegel is in for Connor McKnight. And the Bernstein and McKnight Show on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I love these guys. I get down a rabbit hole. If you start looking at Fearless Flyers on YouTube, and that it leads there. They're an offshoot of a band called Wolfpack.
Ah, yes.
Out of New York. Uh-huh. And the guy's University of Michigan Music School. And you start watching these, and you just... I literally spent an hour and a half watching nothing but these, the drummer and the timekeeping and the tightness of some of these.
Funk groups will never go away, baby. It will never go away. It just feels too damn good.
God, I got to do an argument with somebody about funk, about whether or not it is an actual genre of music
of
or not.
Of course it is.
But this is the person who...
But it crosses over into all sorts of other genres where they'll borrow enough of
but
it.
But there's no specific definition of it that satisfies somebody who's looking for an actual musical definition. Like you can say a jam on the one.
Yeah, I was just going to say, George Clinton said it, everything is on the one.
A jam on the one, uh-huh. Right? But not necessarily, because there is funk that doesn't. So it was very unsatisfying, because I was trying, I don't know enough, I'm not Rick Camp, I don't know enough music theory to say I can clearly give you a hard definition of funk. You know it when you hear it.
Yeah, for sure. And I know it as it mixes into all sorts of stuff. I'll give you a weird association is that Tributosaurus is doing Lynyrd Skynyrd next month.
My guys. I'll get out my rebel flag.
There's some, I mean, we might burn one. We're thinking about burning a rebel flag on the stage.
Seriously?
I don't know if it's allowable in venues. I don't know if open flames in venues is allowable these days. But there's some funk in those grooves, man. There's a few of those grooves. It's like, holy hell, that's funky.
Like swampy. Even in
Absolutely. It's greasy, funky, southern swamp boogie.
Yeah, there's some Warren Haynes crosses over into some of that stuff, too. If you're talking about like that Houston sound, a little
bit of that.
Yeah, it's part of that. I mean, ZZ Top had some of that. Mm-hmm. There's some of it. Yes, yes. That's right. They just played the other day with Cheap Trick.
Yeah, they were here.
Mm-hmm.
This segment is brought to you by Fast Park and Relax. Traveling from Chicago's Midway Airport, park at Fast Park and relax. Enjoy indoor parking just 2 minutes away for only $11 per day. Their van will take you to your terminal on time every time. Visit them at thefastpark.com for reservations online. No walking, no waiting, never alone.
This text from Mr. Pouty Pants. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. Dan's discussing the mental aspects and outside forces, and Matt's telling us that the Cubs might just not be good enough.
What do you want from us?
No, but you know what that is? You know what that? I'll tell you what that signifies. It signifies the unending mystery of baseball and the complexities of life itself. I mean, as I was arguing to you about how things are not black and white and things are a little bit more nuanced, and you don't know just because you have proof. And here we are a decade later, and it's like, and this is why I love that game and will never stop loving that game, is because I don't know. And they don't know either.
Yeah, and
Theo thought he was the smartest dude in the world, and there was a period where he was.
And then Jeff Luhnow came along.
Well, and Andrew Friedman and all. And
Trevor Bauer.
Yeah, even Trevor freaking Bauer.
He changed the game.
Kyle Boddy, right? And some of these guys. I mean, it's amazing.
And Kyle Boddy bought the camera from Trevor Bauer's dad. I mean, when you read the book, it was Trevor Bauer's dad
with the Edgertronic.
Trevor Bauer's dad bought the first Edgertronic.
That's amazing.
And figured out that, well, okay, let's look at this way. It's unbelievable when you really see how this stuff evolves.
I'll tell you what I was really hoping for, and maybe there's still a chance. I want Trevor Bauer to be on the White Sox just so I can watch him and Don Cooper interact for at least 1 year.
Nobody interacts with Trevor Bauer.
But then I want to hand over the entire pitching infrastructure of the Chicago White Sox to Trevor Bauer. Go ahead. Go ahead. I know you're a crazy person, but go ahead. Danny Farquhar can be your, because Farquhar's in the minor leagues now, and he's a very, very smart guy.
He needs a conduit.
Find somebody to be your conduit, but go ahead. Hand over your entire infrastructure to him.
Yeah, if at some point Trevor Bauer is either going to open his own lab or he's going to have some role in pitch design, pitch engineering, and creating some of these things.
He absolutely will. It's people are already following that path.
We asked you that question about what you think about what we feel about the Cubs and whether or not the Cubs feel that about the Cubs. Because look, what I love about Theo is that he is a fan and observer who also happens to have complete control over the team.
Yes.
But he's not playing either.
No, so he starts, knows.
Right. So that's the thing. He's watching what we're watching. He's not in the dugout, not in uniform. And a lot of these feelings, Meatball Theo, as we called him, that's what David Hawk called him. He went full meatball after the year. Play harder, do better, care more. And he did.
Hey, man, those guys have evolved just like Dan Bernstein.
Garrett in Lafayette is on the score. What's up, Garrett?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I had 2 points, really. Number one, I think that they're just not good enough. Last year, deficiencies that they have, they're displaying again. They're essentially the same team. So if they couldn't win last year, why are they going to win this year? I mean, that's illogical. And at the same time, when I look at a team like the Dodgers, as a fan, I'd rather have the World Series win and potentially retooling than getting so close so many times and not achieving it. That would be more frustrating to me as a fan. I enjoyed watching the Braves back in the 90s, and I was a fan that they would get far, but it would be frustrating that they only won one World Series. That's a disappointment to me. I'd rather be a team like the Marlins that win it in 97 and win it in 03.
Really? Really?
I'm serious. That's how I would rather be. You know the fans are going to be there no matter what.
I'd like to challenge you what you think you believe. Garrett, I'd like to tell you that you don't actually believe that. You think you do intellectually, but you don't really believe it.
Think of it like this. If you have the White Sox, everybody's excited about what their potential is right now. And if you have that in between winning seasons, how could that not still be interesting?
Yeah, no, it's interesting, but I mean, if you're a Dodger fan right now, you've just won your seventh title in a row. Your farm system is still pretty good, still pretty damn good. And you're looking at another 4 years of being this good with a chance to do it. And oh, by the way, you have endless money, which your management seems to have very inventive, smart ways of spending. So, no, I disagree that just because they have not won one in the last 4 years. I mean, I understand it's the promise of maybe winning another, but I'm in it for the day to day, for the Bucs 62 and the postseason of possibility and consequence year after year after year. You'll look back on that as a fonder window,
especially if you really remember what it's like to have baseball not matter,
dude.
And how many Hall of Fame players spent the better part of a career or an entire career playing games that essentially didn't matter.
Ryne Sandberg, I asked him last night at this little Q&A thing that I did with Pepsi, with Zero Sugar Pepsi. Thank you very much to them and everybody for being out there. But I said, if you could go back on the field, you go back across the street because we're at Brick House. If you go back across the street and do one thing tomorrow, you're in your age 24 health. You're back in that 1984 body, and you can do anything you want on that baseball field. And I expected him to say, hit one deep just to feel it and watch it or something like that. And he said, be part of a bunch of games that matter, or be part
really?
Of one
that
game.
Was, yeah.
That was his genuine answer. Be part of a game that matters late in a season where you're trying to win and maybe you do. Because he didn't have that enough. Think about how many games he played that didn't mean a
that's
damn
I mean.
Thing.
Yeah,
not a thing.
Yeah, you talk. That's I used to talk to Doug Buffon about that.
Yes,
too. You know, just how he toiled. He worked and worked and worked and worked and worked, and it so little of it ended up being meaningful on the scale relative to the league.
Right.
It's not wasted time. He had a glorious career.
Sure,
but he always had like you know it's just. All these, he'd turn on the TV and see all these other guys doing other things.
They're all playing,
right?
Meanwhile, it's week 8 and we have absolutely no shot. Only 6 more to go.
Woo-hoo! That's Matt Spiegel in for Connor McKnight. Mike Florio is next. We got to get to the bottom of this Antonio Brown stuff. Some sordid and lurid facts that are being presented once again. We'll see what matters next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.